It was the beginning of June on a cool, sunny morning in 2005 that we were able to see the peak of Denali, also called Mount McKinley. We saw it from the main deck of the hotel we were at in Talkeetna, the south end of the mountain. We stood there amazed at its beauty, with the sun radiating down upon it, giving such breathtaking views, not just the peak of Denali, but the whole mountain range. We just stood there in awe. We could have stood there all day at its magnificent beauty, especially when just days before we heard how only about 30% of visitors, of travelers, actually see the peak of Denali. For the range itself bisects the state, and it is the meeting point for those colder, drier systems coming down from the north and the warmer, moisture ones gathering participation from the ocean open from the south. The systems collide and often produce a lot of clouds, obscuring the mountains sometimes for days and weeks on end. While most can see about 45% on the mountain on most days, only about 1 in 3 actually get to see the entire mountain for a prolonged period. This also makes it one of the most challenging mountains to climb. The severe weather and difficulty in acclimating to it, on top of the fact that Denali is so far north with such a lower barometric pressure than the world's higher mountains, makes it very hard to climb. Which is perhaps why it took Sylvia Valquez Lovato several times to reach the summit. What was the last of her venture of the seven summits, which you climb the highest mountain on each of the seven continents. Sylvia, a Peruvian, had a vision she needed to be around mountains to connect to a pain she had experienced from sexual abuse as a child. She did a healing therapy and a meditation, which she described as truly powerful, having the opportunity to get deep into her subconscious. She saw herself shivering as a little girl and then her adult self embracing her as a child. The vision came to an end with the two of them walking together among mountains, on top of mountain peaks. This left her pondering this vision for so long to the point that she decided to go into execution mode, to bring this pain to some very high place, climb the seven summits around the world. To start with, though, she had to start small. First, she climbed to the base camp of Everest, and during a beautiful sunrise between the mountains, she felt Everest gave her her life back. She made a promise that she'd continue to train and climb to the top. And while she did and had a powerful experience, her most troubling, and the one she only completed just this last year, was Denali. It took her the longest, as there are a few times she had to turn around and wait to try again. She stated how it takes many, sometimes 3, 4, 5, even 6 times to make it to the top. And when she finally did so, it took her almost a month. Once she finally completed the climb and arrived back down at the base camp, she stated that she kneeled and cried because she had nothing left. Felt so empty, physically, emotionally, mentally. She remembers feeling like she had given everything, all of her pain and her hurt, all of her pent-up energy, everything she gave to the mountain. This deep spiritual connection she had through this healing, through these mountains, through these different mountaintop experiences. And Sylvia is certainly not the first to seek the mountains out for spiritual connections, for seeking healing and peace, new life. This notion of mountains being spiritual places, places where the gods reside, holy places, has been around since just about the dawn of time. As many long for mountaintop experiences with interactions and connections to their God. Like Sylvia and others, from time to time we seek mountaintop experiences, don't we? Even if we don't actually climb the mountain, we long to feel more connected to God for whatever reason, whether it be healing, peace, and comfort, for strength, for not feeling so lost or alone. We long for connectedness and connection. Perhaps we long for an experience what Peter, James, and John had up on the mountain during Jesus' transfiguration. Or the experience Moses had when he was hidden in the cleft of the rock and saw God pass by, saw God's backside. Or even the experience Elijah had hearing God speak in the sheer silence on top of the mountain. We long to feel God's presence, experience God, and be amazed by God. Sometimes we seek a mountaintop experience to put things into perspective for us. Things always look different from up top. We can get a different view of what is down below. Things appear smaller or clearer. We get a different experience of it all when we can remove ourselves from what's down below for a bit. We see things with new or fresh eyes, or in ways we've never seen them before. Perhaps even being out on the mountain gives us a different sense of self as we interact with nature, God's creation. Climbing higher and higher, we feel the rocks, roots, dirt under our feet. We feel the brush and leaves tickle our legs and sides. We feel the branches in our hands as we push them out of the way or pull on them to help us up. We feel the change in temperature and notice the air difference as we go up in elevation. We hear the birds above or see them soar right in front of our eyes. The chipmunks, squirrels, deers, and bear roam around us. And the trickling of the streams of the water down the rocks. This experience isn't just that it gives us a different view of what's down below. It connects us to what is around us, to this great creation God has made, that God loves. And it's sometimes in these moments that God meets us in the mountains, when we see a magnificent sunset and the beauty and awe it speaks to us in such mysterious and powerful ways. When the birds singing such beautiful melodies remind us of the songs of our hearts, the songs of our great God. Or in jolting us awake as we slip and slide down part of the path, landing safely below, knowing God is holding us in God's hand. And sometimes it's in the journey itself that God shows up in ways we don't expect. Like that of a soft-spoken, white-haired hiker, trail name Walker, who was trekking the Appalachian Trail, did it twice in 3 years. The first time he walked to grieve. He states, "I started in Tennessee in January. I was all alone and I screamed at God a lot. I cried my heart out and I walked and I walked. By the time I reached Maine, I had physically and spiritually grieved my 4-year-old grandson who had died from cancer the year before." So powerful was his experience that the second time he hit the trail, he hiked as a chaplain, giving aid to whoever needed it along the way. God meets us in mysterious ways, both on and off the mountain, as there are plenty of powerful stories throughout the Bible of people's encounters with God, both on and off the mountain. But there's still something about mountains, as even God's vision for a new heaven and a new earth are on top of one. God's holy mountain, as Isaiah states. This mountain that perhaps isn't just supposed to change us, give us a mountaintop experience to push us to grow, but is maybe to help put things into different perspective for us, to show us the reality of how God desires the world to be. This beautiful imagery for the new earth. No more shall there be weeping or cries of distress. No more shall infants live but a few days, or an old person not live out their lifetime. Their days shall be like days of trees. They shall build houses and live in them, plant vineyards and eat the fruit. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat like the ox. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is God's desire, that we would find a way to live in harmony with each other and with creation, not hurting or destroying, no weeping or crying, but building up and planting, living and eating, thriving. Perhaps this is the good news we are to proclaim to the whole creation. This commissioning of the disciples in the Gospel of Mark that is just a bit different than that of Matthew and Luke, where we're called not just to be witnesses of the things of Jesus, not just to baptize and teach, bring all this to the nations, but proclaim the gospel, the good news, all creation. This good news that there will be no more weeping, no more weeping from property lost, they will build houses and live in them. No threats of natural disaster, waters won't rise up from hurricanes or typhoons or various floods, no more eminent domain. No cries of distress from land being attacked or dried up. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit. No horrid drought conditions or raging fires. No clear cutting or destructive forces. This good news where people shall live long lives, not hurting one another, using or misusing each other. No more air pollution or pollution in the ground around them, oil spills or tainted water, nothing that will hurt or destroy. This good news where the lion and the lamb eat together, this mountain where all life is valued and loved and cared for, where there is enough for all, enough clean water, enough food, enough shelter. This high mountain where there would be no fracking, no overabundance of air pollution or huge carbon footprints. This mountain where the ice caps aren't melting at alarming rates, swallowing up island nations and coastal towns, where acres of the rainforest aren't clear cut, and where all animal species, all creation has a chance to survive. This high mountain, God's holy mountain, this new heaven and new earth God is to create, this is good news for all of creation, where we find a way to live together. Perhaps this being the ultimate mountaintop experience on this high holy mountain of God. So let this be the good news that we go out proclaiming, so we may all eventually come to experience the glorious view of God's holy mountain. The view of the new heavens and the new earth. Amen.